Hello, this is Daryl War, and you are listening to the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows podcast. Appropriate to both the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows and who I've interviewed in this podcast. For Lisa is not only a great fan of Dark Shadows, she's a great fan of so much more, which includes the Bee Gees. And with both songs, I think Pink Floyd works, since The Wall is a rock opera that explores abandonment and isolation, symbolized by a metaphoric wall. And then, mixed in with the Bee Gees Stayin' Alive, Get Through Hard Times. Yes, I find it marvelously appropriate for this podcast with Lisa. So, thank you, the mixers, for this song. Be it Wax Audio or someone else, I'm not sure, but thank you. So, even though I've whittled as much of our discussion as possible, this one might take you a while to finish, because her interview alone is about an hour long, which means this entire program will likely stretch to being as long as the one including Autumn Archer. And I highly recommend that one, as we go through a lot of the skills her and I have in channeling characters. As for Autumn, we have kept in touch, so if you're wondering why she's not posting more stories, well, life is busy for her. She's in her early 20s, and taking a break from fandom while she moves in other pursuits. Yes, I'm a little bummed too, but she is doing pretty good with all that she's currently got on her plate, which is a lot, so... I'd also like to thank the pen pals I've been garnering this past year. It's absolutely wonderful to get back to the mail and letters. I got my old typewriter out that we bought at a rummage sale. I remember I used to sit behind that with lovely Mrs. Muir thoughts flowing through my mind. And the email pals are great too. It's just been such a blessing to remove myself to a moderate Facebook usage. And I must confess, I don't miss using social media. It really is overwhelming, too much excess and not enough discussion, and a lot of just, I don't even know how you people pay your bills or get anything done with using that all the time. But what I'm shooting for is more human, and that makes me feel much better. So, more thank yous. There is a lady who actually got interested in Dark Shadows through Big Finish Audio Productions. She was listening to some other shows that weren't Dark Shadows, and then she was like, okay, what's this over here? And then she's like, oh, okay. And she's like, so then she gets into this Dark Shadows show because she's kind of interested in the Big Finish Audio Productions, having already been involved in non-Dark Shadows Big Finish Audio Productions. And then, of course, like a lot of people watching Dark Shadows, she couldn't get enough. So as she was waiting to get some more discs to watch more Dark Shadows and see more episodes, she used a search engine and found my work. And all of Super Bowl Sunday, when the plan was to watch the game. No. She was looking over what I had for 10 hours instead. She was absolutely elated and felt compelled to contact me. So as time went along and we managed to use private messaging and email, it got to wanting to say so much back and forth and just all these little things. And it's like, this is email. So we exchanged phone numbers, just because whatever she wanted to say was... So, oh my gosh, that week, she was so excited talking to me. I felt like Paul McCartney. I really did. It was so much elation, and not being sure what all the words were from her excitement, I really feel like I was getting a Beatlemania love, and that's a big switch for me, as you know. So I want to thank her for her friendship, even though with the work she does and her family life, she gets super busy, and I know why. So I just want to thank her, Sat, for being there and showing her support. She doesn't use Facebook, because Facebook is a very time-consuming addiction, and she just doesn't have the time for that. It doesn't interest her. That was what I was hoping to find. So, I appreciate, yeah, you might think the world is on Facebook. It really isn't. The world is not on Facebook. It's a little hovel. Looks like a lot of people are on it, a lot of people using it, but not everyone. Not absolutely everyone. You know, some of us, it's not a format we can deal with. Especially all the time. So, next on the thank you list is Melissa, I'd like to thank again. Melissa has always been incredibly stunned at the lack of solid support I've had. When she contacted me, she totally presumed I had too many people contacting me and sending email about the pit and about the novel, and that wasn't the case. She has been appalled at the treatment I've received to the point of wanting to lash out at those making trouble for me. That has given me quite a bit of moral support. Hearing that, somebody else is outraged because I'm, you know, looking at all of this disaster of what the internet's become. After I worked with it and got some good stuff out of it. A lot of good stuff, actually. And I'm completely confused what the attraction is to a lot of the stuff. So Melissa, she has that foundation. We both have that. If you enjoy something, you want to talk about it. You don't, like, hide that you're enjoying it. Unless it's, like, something that, you know, your parents are going to get all upset with you, like heavy metal music or something like that. Like, it's weird. I mean, even then, it's like you go and find other metalheads to talk about that with. But yeah, she's dumbfounded, as dumbfounded I am, and livid. That helps me a lot. Because, yeah, it was basically just validating my confusion at this whole situation. So I want to thank her very deeply. Another thing I love about Melissa is when she sees all this stuff about opinion and perspective when it comes to Dark Shadows and how it could go any old which way for interpretation, she says, "No, that is not Dark Shadows. That is The Prisoner. And that was part of why The Prisoner formulated the way it did. Dark Shadows is far more straightforward. If you want open to interpretation, that is The Prisoner with Patrick McGoon." And I was like, oh, finally, somebody's speaking some sense. And my husband's a big Prisoner fan, and he's just like, well, yeah, pretty much. And also, Melissa has really helped a lot of fans of the pairing for Barnabas and Maggie with her kind and open nature, just wanting to talk, make friends, and be more one-on-one with those fans, even wanting to be a personal assistant to me. So that's great, because that was definitely what I was looking for. And now we have a lot of research through episodes. Melissa is responsible for a little more from Maggie in episode 16 of The Pit because of what she and I found in more Kitty Soames episodes. Kitty, as Josette, knows she wasn't in love with Jeremiah and that it was a spell. So if Maggie's both women, she is going to slowly remember all of that. So the big burst from Maggie in episode 16 of The Pit was altered to relay that factor, make sure that she had knowledge of that. And I'd had that outburst from Maggie ready for ages. I even mentioned it in the intro to episode 2 of The Pit back in 2013. So with Melissa, it is far more than being a fan. It's friendship, dialogue, connecting people, and research. So if you are still nervous about me and need someone to ask, I say go to Melissa. And she also helped me to find the episode with Vampire Angelique bothering Barnabas on Dark Shadows. So from that, I could get a sense of that conflict. Take some of the original dialogue from Dark Shadows for episode 16, use that at first, and then if you've heard 16, the confrontation took a lot of different twists. So thank you, Melissa, for all of that, and hopefully more in the future. I'd also like to thank Oisin Nivoy, because in 16, she'd been wanting the Bill Malloy thing for a while, him to be included, goes to Bill Malloy. I have to keep on going back to her. I mean, she does, there's so much research, but it's one of those things where I don't thank her, and I mean, I talk about her all the time, but I don't thank her enough for all the research help, and then we have a lot of fun doing that when she has the time. Yeah, there was help with the Wadsworth line to introduce the Bill Malloy character into the pit, and Wadsworth was sort of quoting what he heard Elizabeth's daughter say of Bill Malloy. So thank you, Oisin, for that. And also more help in the future, of course. I didn't want to leave her out because she's just so wonderfully helpful. There was a gentleman very recently in New Zealand on a pen pal site who expressed he was listening to episode 1, and though he hadn't heard enough to give any full feedback, he told me he enjoyed the sound of my voice and that it reminded him of community radio, which was great. College radio is what I'm used to, and that's kind of the same thing, and what I was shooting for at the beginning, and I would like to return to that. But I'm showing gratitude for that because of how casual he was, just saying he listened, not being judgmental, and not avoiding the topic. I thanked him and let him know from that I was going to sleep a whole lot easier that night, and I did. Another person I'd like to thank is a wonderful young lady who's been keeping me company through email, who loves Dark Shadows, Willie Loomis, Clue, and the Addams Family, and a lot of things. We've been sharing crafting projects, and I sent images of some of the bat designs and clothing I'm working on, as well as new templates for bats, and that's been marvelous because it's more personal, just one-on-one. I could throw all that stuff in social media and get whatever like clicks, which is just empty to me. Having her to exchange updates and physical creations we're working on helps a great deal. Thank you. I'd pick a name for her, but she has several, so I wouldn't even know which one to go with. For the interview with Lisa, I am quite excited throughout the discussion. I was so happy to have a kindred spirit visit, and we continued to talk on the phone and write back and forth. Right now, Lisa's been doing this wonderful, accurate note-taking for the 1795 era of Dark Shadows to get all the pertinent details on the history of Barnabas and Josette, our favorite couple. Of course, this includes having to writhe her way through the terrors Angelique caused, and Lisa getting back to me and saying, "I have no idea how on earth you are going to redeem that woman. She is just vile!" Or words to that effect. So I have to keep reminding her, and Dora can handle it. I'm very confident in her. I mean, because you watch 1795 and you're just like, whoa. And it's one of those times where I was just like, you know, looking back, I was just getting like the basics. But even, I mean, I was so emotionally numb. And even I was like, this is too much. This is too much. How can somebody? Other posts Lisa had on Facebook really made me feel a lot better in terms of understanding Dark Shadows and understanding that the observation skills and memory of various fans have gone so downhill. When the marathon on the Decades channel for Dark Shadows went into full swing, one of my favorite posts by Lisa still is words to the effect of, "All right, if I needed proof that these fans have not been watching Dark Shadows, I have it now. If I had a dollar for every time I see the remark, 'I don't remember that.'" Dot, dot, dot. It's like, yep. Oh my gosh. So there we have it. It's like, yeah. So, in October of this year, 2016, Lisa came to stay with us for a full week. And here is about an hour of the time we spent together. Enjoy. And hopefully, be educated.
This is Lisa's interview, Lisa Weinberg. So, how did you get into Dark Shadows?
Well, that's kind of a two-level question.
Right, and I do have the second part, because I wanted to ask how you got into it and how you returned.
Okay.
And you don't have to have every last detail of everything that happened, but just the general.
Well, my first experience, of course, was when I was 5 years old, mm-hmm. and Barnabas first showed up, mm-hmm. and I was watching it as a child.
Mm-hmm. And but, you're not a run home from school?
No, I am not a run home from school child, because I was 5 at the time. I was in kindergarten, mm-hmm. and it ran until I would have been in the 3rd grade, and we still got home by 3 o'clock, and the show was on by 3:30, so I didn't have to run home. I just had to get in my mom's car, and she brought me home, and we watched it.
Yeah.
That was during the original run.
Mm-hmm. I liked that when you first told me about that, I didn't run home from school because I was already home.
That's right.
I love that answer. It was a nice switch. So yeah, so you just watched it. Did you ever, because I remember another person said, yeah, I watched it until something really scared me and I had to turn it off.
No, you know, I was a strange child. I was not scared by these things. I don't really remember it clearly, but my mom said that, you know, I sat maybe 5 feet from the TV every day just watching this, you know. Now, it did scare my younger sister. She used to go and hide behind a chair when the music would start, but, you know, that wasn't me, you know. I was just right there. Although, from the original run, I mean, there's very little details that I remember because I was so young. Mm-hmm. Things that stick out in my mind are, of course, the mausoleum. The time when Sarah was sick and I can remember her writing Barnabas's name on the slate.
Yes.
And then another scene that really sticks out in my mind when he comes to see her before she dies. And she tells him she loves him and she always will. Mm-hmm. Those are the scenes that stick out a lot in my mind.
Yes.
But most of my watching the series, it was more later when it was on PBS and I caught back up to it. And that was in 1986.
Mm-hmm. So you had the nostalgia, like, oh, wait, I remember this, and the PBS station.
And that was in St. Louis.
Right, and when did they start airing it again for you?
It was 1986. I pretty much got in on the beginning of that.
Right after Back to the Future.
Yeah, right. But in St. Louis, they only went up midway through the 1970 parallel time, and then they stopped. And
okay.
It's like, you know, like, oh, man, now what happens? You know, because I didn't remember from the original run. And it was about that time they started releasing the VHS tapes. Mm-hmm. And so I started buying those.
Mm-hmm.
I bought those for a while, and then they were kind of expensive. So I stopped doing that. I was very glad when the DVDs started coming out in 2002, and then I just bought them every other month or whatever they were coming out. But up to that time, I was also watching it on the Sci-Fi Channel. I guess that was in the late 90s. We finally got the Sci-Fi Channel in our area, and I was able to watch it.
Okay, wow.
And I finally got to see the whole series through because, remember seeing the whole series through.
Yeah.
You know.
Reintroduced, and yeah, and then they ran it, Sci-Fi Channel ran it, the whole thing, how many times?
I'm told they ran it the whole show through 5 times,
okay.
But by the time we finally got the Sci-Fi Channel in the St. Louis area, that was the last time they were running it through, so.
Did you already say when that was?
That would have been the late 90s.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Because I remember catching a little bit, but I knew it was so far into it that I'm like, I can't start here. I was like, no. What I caught was like 1995 for Dark Shadows, and I was like, nope, it's too late. Presumably they didn't show the first year on Sci-Fi.
No, I don't think they did.
Right, because I'm a stickler for chronology. So I remember catching a little bit of it on Sci-Fi, but I realized, no, whatever this is, it's too late in the game. I'm not going to get the full gist. So it's good to hear, you know, maybe I could have caught it sooner, but it's probably better the way that everything's happened. With that, with original run, PBS, Sci-Fi, and VHS and DVD, may I quote one of my favorite things you've ever told me?
Sure.
Okay. There's no excuse. There's no excuse for not. I mean, maybe some people are out of it or poor or having traumas or whatever, but, and I can edit it out if you like.
No, that's fine.
It's that you said there's... for not being in touch with the series, with how much was available through the years. If you're a real fan, there is no excuse for
Yes, because, I mean, even if you can't purchase the VHS or the DVDs, if you have libraries, you know, they let you rent them or check them out or whatever you call it. And apparently you can watch some of them online, stream online. And there are avenues where you can buy even the individual sets. It doesn't have to be the coffin set. And you can get some real reasonable deals, because I've done that for a friend that didn't have any of them, and she has not all 26 volumes, but a good many of them, because I've gone on eBay and I've found deals for her and gotten those for her, and I've even replaced a few of my own that got worn out or got scratched up or whatever.
And I had the mail home discs. We had, oh, I guess I'll finally say it, Netflix. We had Netflix.
That was what I was trying to think of. Netflix. A lot of people did that.
Yeah, and that's how I, but I wanted to make sure. Like I said, I never thought we'd get the first year, so I finally said, well, it seems like, you know, when Barnabas started, that's when it took off. So let's check it out from there. And then I just was fascinated more than I thought I would be, especially in the state of mind that I was in the state of art, etc. But anyway, so yeah, no, I've always appreciated that. And people watching it again and being like, lost, and I don't remember this, and you're kind of like, well, drive you cuckoo when you really love something.
Admittedly, I don't remember it from the original run either.
But, yeah.
But what I know is from watching it, and before I had access to all of the episodes, whether it be VHS, watching on PBS, the DVDs, Kathleen Resch's concordances were very good.
Yes.
I mean, they had everything in there, and I ordered all of those. I've got the complete set, those were really good. They're very detailed.
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask next, was the concordances, which I'm still trying to remember. I know what that word means. I just want to look it up so that I'm doubly sure. But yeah, concordances, it was, what were those or are those?
Well, it's a summary of each and every episode.
Okay.
And they were pretty detailed.
Mm-hmm.
As I understand it, it was because they would tape the episodes. Now, we're not talking
videotape.
We're talking reel-to-reel tape.
Right.
Or I'm not sure when cassette tapes came in. I know when I had a cassette player, but I don't really think those were what they were using to tape the show. It was reel-to-reel.
Yeah, and I remember I've used those reel-to-reels, and you kind of have to feed them like a projector.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that the spindle is holding it. You have all this extra.
Or otherwise it slips.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then it catches, and you kind of retry, click, 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 click. That's why I thought it was funny, you know, like, well, maybe he had a portable, Darren Stevens had a portable music device. Oh, yeah, a bulky reel-to-reel machine.
Right.
Well, it was sort of portable, but not really. You could move it.
Right. Those concordances also had some really nice illustrations.
Yes.
The artwork.
Yes.
And sometimes there would be rare publicity stills or behind-the-scene photos. So they were always full of some nice stuff.
Photocopy or newsprint?
I think they must have been photocopied. I don't recall there being any newsprint in there.
Okay.
Because a lot of the pictures, I mean, they were very clear.
Okay.
Of course, if you tried to photocopy them on a copy machine, sometimes it didn't look so good. But
mm-hmm. Yeah. That was one of the things that I loved about Next Gen. It was the clone episode of the day. So, what is replicative fading? And that was okay. Where Pulaski says, you're making a copy of a copy, and then subtle errors creep in as you go, and eventually you have an unviable clone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because they should copy. And the copy again. So that's why newsprint, I figured maybe newsprint would probably have its own printing press, but a photocopy, that's different. You gotta have your, because I ran a scene for a while, and you want to have your master copy that you make your photocopies from.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. And then, so there was the concordances. Now, do you remember how many of those were released?
Yes.
And how did you find out about them?
When I started watching Dark Shadows again on the PBS network, at the time that I started watching, they were having a fundraising drive. And it just so happens that Marcy Robin from Shadowgram was actually doing a spot on there. And she talked about Dark Shadows and gave the address for Shadowgram and for the Dark Shadows Festival, which was already in full swing at that time, because this would have been about 1986 or so.
Okay.
And so I wrote to those addresses, and once you write to the Dark Shadows Festival, at the time, they called it I guess it still is a fan club, but they'd even send you a little card and you'd sign your name on there, you know, you're a lifelong member of the Dark Shadows Festival, you know, fan club, and they would send you out flyers. They had one book that they released that was called Dark Shadows, The Beginning. That would have been the year before Barnabas showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they released a book called The Introduction to Barnabas.
Mm-hmm.
That had some pretty good photographs. No artwork, but photographs in the back. Those two publications, those came from Dark Shadows Festival.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the concordances, they were ones that Kathleen Resch put together.
Mm-hmm.
There was 1795, 1968 Part 1, 1968 Part 2, 1897 part one. If there's an 1897 part two, I didn't get it.
Okay.
There was also one that was for the Leviathans, I think, but I don't have that one either. Then there is one that says 1970 parallel time. And then the last concordance, it says 1840, but it was 1840. And then, of course, the end of the series, 1841 parallel time.
Okay.
So it just went straight through to the end.
Mm-hmm. You would just keep purchasing them over time.
Yeah, because I was also getting fanzines, but the two big ones were Inside the Old House. And that was through a fella named Dale Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Kathleen Resch was the one that put out The World of Dark Shadows.
Right.
So I started getting those fanzines, too.
Do you remember when it was that you started getting those?
It would have been 1988.
Okay. Man, wow. Okay.
And those were published irregularly, but they were full of different stories, poems, artwork.
Possible filking.
Yes, yes. The filk songs.
Yes.
Some of those were quite entertaining. There would be ads in those fanzines,
yeah.
Too.
Maybe like
especially Kathleen Resch's. And there were ads. She was going to be publishing concordance for 1795. Or the one for 1897 part one was coming out. And as those would come out, I would send her a self-addressed stamp envelope so that she could send me a flyer when it was ready to be ordered. Mm-hmm. She would send that. I would send my money in, and I'd get the concordances. So that's how that...
Was it money ordered, or could you send cash? I remember zine days, and they're still...
You know something? Orders. I think I sent checks.
Okay, yeah.
I think it was checks.
No COD.
No.
I've heard the horror stories of COD. And then, as time went on, did you start getting the fanzines? Well, I guess you got those, the couple that you've mentioned... So I'm wondering in what waves, what patterns, you got the concordances and then the fanzines.
Well, they were kind of mixed in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, when they'd had that pledge drive on PBS, mm-hmm. and I got the address for Shadowgram and the one for the Dark Shadows Festival. Shadowgram, that's a newsletter that would tell you what all the actors were doing. And
where are they now?
Where are they now? They would also have advertisements for other publications, including Inside the Old House and The World of Dark Shadows, and even any kind of merchandise that the Dark Shadows Festival was putting out. So it was a newsletter. It was kind of about, not just, you know, it was mostly about the actors and where they are now, what are they doing, but it was other things too, kind of overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then there were more fanzines as time went on.
Oh, yes, there were a lot of them. The two that I mentioned, those were the main ones that I got.
Old House and World of Dark Shadows.
Yes. I also started getting one that was called Wycliffe Watch, and I believe I have all the fanzines of those.
Okay.
I mean, that stopped after a time.
Yeah.
Because the lady who was producing it, I guess she had other things going on.
Mm-hmm.
Real life stepped in, and
mm-hmm.
you know, she wasn't able to do that anymore. I have a couple of issues of one called The Music Box.
Yeah, I've seen just online some stuff of that.
Right.
Some covers and so forth.
I've got two issues. That is number one and number 2/3.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen it go up, I believe, as far as 6. I'm not sure how many issues of that there were. There was one that I was getting called Shadows of the Night. I didn't get very many issues of that. A lot of these fanzines, you would send in a subscription. You know, you could send off for maybe just one issue if you wanted, or they would tell you how much 4 issues would cost. They would tell you how much 6 issues would cost. It was like a subscription. Whatever, I guess, you could afford at the time.
Was it all photocopy?
Yes.
Okay. So.
Yeah, they were photocopied in those days.
Okay.
Well, a little bit later, it got a little bit more professional looking. They were bigger. Sometimes that print was so small because, you know, they were using typewriters
to do the original.
And then they would photocopy that, and some of it's really hard to read, especially as your eyes get older.
Oh, well, we've read zines that are handwritten. Sometimes we can't read them all, but yeah. And I remember there was a big zine thing going on in the 90s, and it was actually, you know, you could pay this amount for a copy or swap your own zine. There was a lot of that going on in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit in the late 80s, maybe more than I think. I wasn't that involved until way later. Anyway, so as time went on, some of the reflection to the original show, it started to shift. There was a shift in the storytelling and what was being presented. It sounds to me a little bit like, rather than basing it on the original show, something started to shift where fan work was then being based on fan work, on previous fan work.
Yeah.
And becoming more distant from the original program.
Yes.
Yeah. And then there was just all of these romantic pairings that were not canon, shall we say.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. Yeah, there were some that I would read. They would print a lot of different types of stories in these fanzines, and some of them that I would read, because I read everything.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them I would read, I would think, where in the world did they get this?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I don't remember anything insinuating this at all.
Right.
Just sort of, well, this is the way that I would have wanted to see it.
Right. Until it got to the point where we have people now where this is what we all wanted to see, which isn't really how you expect
yourself. Right. They're kind of taking liberties there. It's right. Not what we all would have wanted to see.
Although by this time, there's a lot of what I call brainwashing, or at least it's gotten all out of hand. But the we all... That just, mm-hmm. you know, somebody make... I mean, I remember, I think I told you about how disgusted my husband and I were with... Prometheus was coming out within the last few years. And that was supposed to be a prequel to Alien.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was giving the mystery of... This is how this Alien, the saga of Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, etc., how it was created now. And then somebody online really ticked us off. I don't need to know how the alien came into being, and neither does anyone else. And it's like, excuse me? Excuse me? Excuse you? You're like, don't you make decisions for me. I don't care. You could say, I don't need, but you don't have to bring me into it. I don't know. You're speaking for someone you don't know. A lot of you don't knows. But yeah, the we all, and that's one of the things that I love. I don't know if you've heard it. And we'll get to this about your work. But I've heard it from mine. Rather than we all, a lot of people have come to me saying this was what I wanted. And that's what I prefer.
Well, at least that's honest.
Right. You speak for yourself. You know, some people say kind of with a chip on their shoulder, well, speak for yourself. But still, yeah, speak for yourself. You say kind of normal. Yeah, we should all be. That's the point of, you know, everybody having a vote. Everybody having a say. And making a choice. Having freedom. Having the pursuit of... happiness, quote-unquote. So the fanzines took that turn. Were there any Mary Sues that you can recall for the fanzines?
It was pretty rare.
Yeah.
I mean, you would get one once in a while, but it seemed like it was regulated. Well, there was one primarily that was not canon that seemed to be gaining a lot of ground, and still is.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were just... a few others. At least it was a character that was actually on the show. It wasn't anybody made up.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't recall reading anything that I would term a Mary Sue.
Okay. So, mostly Julia, which we know is not canon, minus Sam Hall TV Guide wrap-up.
Right. And
no
that,
authorization.
That's the one that seemed to take on a life of its own.
Right.
For whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
There was some Victoria winners. Sometimes there was even Daphne.
Okay, yeah, I remember hearing
that
a little bit about
that.
That
was kind of rare.
Yeah. Roxanne?
I don't remember reading a Roxanne story. There might have been some out there, because of course I didn't have every fanzine,
but there might have been some out there.
And there were Maggie stories, there were Josette stories. I don't recall seeing any Rachel Drummond.
But, really?
You know,
really?
Maybe they...
We found... I don't know if you've seen it, but we found one.
Oh.
And Melissa called it softcore porn. And that's in her interview. I'm not sure whether yours is going to come out first or hers. But, yeah, and I had seen it, and I think Taryn had told me about it, and we're like, well, at least it's there. We were kind of weird. Well, at least it's there.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty short. Pretty easy read. I think I've told you about it, but I won't say some of the details because it is M-rated.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But, okay, so there were Maggie stories, but not that many.
No.
Right.
Although, we had talked to Kathleen Riche a couple of months ago.
Right.
At the festival.
The 50th.
And she said in the earlier days there was more of them.
Okay.
Of Josette and of Maggie.
Okay.
Because that World of Dark Shadows had been running for a long time before I discovered it.
Right.
You know, yeah. Because a lot of the original fans are older than I am. Again, right. You know, I was age 5 to age 9 when that show ran. A lot of the other fans were older, you know, even if they were 10 when it started, or 12, or whatever. So they were all aware of those fanzines and such before I was. And she seemed to think that the shift happened around 1984, 85. It started shifting in another direction.
Could we mention what the possibility of that change, how that happened? Because I think the theory is
very good. It may just be coincidence, but it was about the time that Grayson Hall passed away.
Uh-huh. Make a lot of sense. So then there was more and more of that, and then we get to when you got tired of those stories just filling up the works.
Right. I was, by that time, receiving Wyncliffe Watch, and it was good fanzine.
It's good writing. Yeah, good storytelling, good writing.
And even though the romantic pairing of Barnabas Julia was not my
cup of tea,
yes.
And, yeah, it just didn't convince you.
Right. A lot of the stories were very good. They were very well written. But I didn't feel, personally, that that was the way it was supposed to be. And I thought that, you know, had things been different, they might have taken that Barnabas-Maggie relationship and they would have gone on with it. Except that Catherine Lee Scott left the show. So anyway, I didn't like the way the show ended, so I decided then I was going to write my own.
Great.
So that's how that began.
Okay, yeah. And I've read some of it, and it was one of the things that for 5 years I was looking for and couldn't find. I'm rather glad that things turned out this way, because if I had found it and read it, I'm not sure I would have felt obligated to get in touch. It might have been like, well, Sam's still dead, so I gotta keep doing what I'm doing. But at the same time, the bombardment of what I've experienced makes me hold on to your work that much stronger. Especially with what I'm suffering through, which is not being able to get out or pay attention to anything other than these fandoms most of the time, unless it's 3 minutes long or one page long. Yeah, and we were in here. This is my room. This is my bedroom. Lisa's in my bed.
Well, now, come on, we're keeping this a G rating here now.
You can say that. There's worse stuff online. But yeah, I was just laying here and you were reading me one of your chapters, and I'm like, it feels like the real show, which you'd been told before.
Yeah, that was interesting. I was happy that you said that, because I've had some other people read some of the chapters, and they've told me this is just like watching an episode of Dark Shadows.
Yeah.
And I thought, less tension. That's great. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, but there is less tension because...
But the tension is still there, just because, if I may go through some of the bits that
sure.
have it all, is that there's question, and of course, Roger, don't we love him? And the concern of, well, the neighbors will talk if you and Maggie Evans have a short engagement. And I was just thinking, okay, so that seems a little bit strange for him to ask, but that's Roger, and Roger is this wonderful fifth wheel. He's a fifth wheel, but a fifth wheel can bring so much to creation, to everything. I mean, and also he's an uncle, so you know, you always got your weird uncle off to the side contributing whatever, or your weird auntie. And then that got us going about the love of Roger and the love of Louis Edmonds and all of that. So yeah, when lying here, I was just like, I remember there was a pause, like, should I read this? And I'm like, do you want me to read it? Because I miss performing Roger. I'd love to read in Roger voice. In such a, it was comfort food. It was total comfort food to have slice of life, intricate, characters are the same. And also, I just loved, and I said this at dinner last night, because Quentin and Roger saying, well, this, well, that, And Barnabas, as he would, as he naturally would, can we please stop talking about me and my bride-to-be? Because, I mean, I'm feeling like, hey, we should change the subject. Enough is enough. Because it's like, hey. And then I think that you said, too, yesterday that have Maggie's reaction to him telling her that in your work, that he was like, well, what business of theirs or whatever.
Right, yeah. Right. To paraphrase, yes.
Yeah. But it just works so beautifully. Now, may I ask you about wanting the reincarnation?
Sure.
Okay. Because it took a long time, I think, just with the fragmentary messaging system and everybody kind of being all over the place, because you're paying attention on social network, you're paying attention to like 50 different things at once, which is not humanly natural. The process is too difficult for it to just maintain organization in the mind and in the being. Eventually, I did find out, like, with Trina, did you want the reincarnation? It took forever. Yes. And then other people, yes. And I was like, because that's just what I naturally saw. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I was more worried about Tony and Carolyn or saving Sam. And, you know, this was just natural. Okay. You know, like, spooky, spooky, spooky. Reincarnation. Business as usual. Okay. But I remember finally discussing that with you because you'd seen Margaret Josette Dupre, and it was really helpful when I restarted it. When's the next chapter? I loved it. I mean, I could always hear you. I loved it. And then eventually when we started to get to know each other, you say, yeah, I tried the reincarnation, but like wanting to do Star Trek fan fiction, I didn't have the technical aspects.
Right.
And with reincarnation, you hadn't gone through those supernatural aspects. So you right. had tried it, but you weren't satisfied.
Yeah, I did not feel equal to the task. Mm-hmm. I mean, what I wrote, I did not like, and I thought, this doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I'm just going to have to sort of let that go, because what was coming out, I was not satisfied with.
Okay.
And I will mess and mess with a thing. I mean, mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff that I've written, many of these chapters I've written several times. I mean, I tweak yeah. and I tweak and I tweak.
Naturally, naturally. You know, like I've said, I mean, I had that whole first draft, some of which I was like, ew. And then it was like, then when I finally had the support, which I really needed the support because they're not my characters, and I need the support from people who prefer this pairing, want the reincarnation, all this, and like, please tell me more, and let's have a dialogue, and let's salon this, and which really helped. But I had the back history. Like, you would probably have library materials. Where do I find a book on people who've been reincarnated or claim to have been?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, whatever, newspaper articles. And I had the internet. I mean, I had stuff before that. Things that I'd looked into, like... Mm-hmm,
yeah, that's a very good point, because when I first started writing this, this started in 1988.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there was a time period, because of personal things going on with me.
Right.
Where I set it aside.
And got it to Next Gen, I think.
Yeah, I got into Next Gen. It was kind of a...
Star Trek.
An escape.
Yeah.
Escape thing.
Yeah. Right, right.
And I was probably away from Dark Shadows, I would say, it was almost 10 years.
Okay. Well, that's
and then,
enough to get into Star Trek The Next Generation, and that's a good...
Right. Right, for about the entire run of Next Generation.
Right.
Yes. So then I came back to Dark Shadows, mostly because we had the Sci-Fi Channel by that time, and I thought, oh, I'm going to start taping these episodes, you know, on VHS tape.
TiVo didn't exist, all y'all.
Right, right. Still videotape.
Magnetic strips.
Yes. Buying them in packages of four.
Unreal.
Right. So I had gotten back into that, and because I had started watching it again, I started working on my story again.
Right.
But it has still been a work in progress. I mean, it doesn't always come in order.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, now don't. Yeah, I know how that goes.
So I've got sections that aren't even connected yet.
But that you see where the connections
go. Yeah, I know what needs to connect it. I know where it's going to connect at. It's just that all the parts aren't written yet. I can't connect them yet because it's not all done. But I've got several different sections that, you know, have to be weaved together. So it's a work in progress.
Right. And that is how we relate well, because you've also, you and I both have our original material that we've worked on. Just like Oshin Navoy. other people that I've encountered along the way. Original work. Usually supernatural. I don't know if what you've put together ever had any of that. They might have been...
It had a little bit of supernatural in there. Sometimes it was just kind of a love story.
Oh, well, that's fine, too.
I guess you could call it a romance.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't period romance. It was, you know, more or less modern day.
Okay.
I guess probably because I had composition teachers that always told me, write what you know.
Yes, when they say that. The reincarnation, that was difficult, but one of the reasons was the tools weren't readily available. For me, it was similar, except I'd already done studies in spooky, so there was a little bit here, a little bit there, or I went off, there was a film, or something short, or... I'd always been exposed to it. I'd always been curious about it. It was just part and parcel of being interested in Halloween and spooky and gothic, dark stuff. It was always there. So when I reached this, I did extra study because I knew I was going to have to get... And look, it's fun to study. It's fun to... I mean, if you're interested, it's what I've always said all through my life. I'm not a good reader. Well, did you find a book that you were interested in? A subject that interests you. I don't care if you get the kids' version just to start. You find something interested in, you latch on.
Right.
So that was the difference. But at the same time, I've talked about how, to me, when I read your work, Josette's still in there somewhere. And I think you've admitted you can't shake her.
Right.
You can't shake Josette. She's in there somehow. And
and she does come up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's parts that I've written that I haven't connected yet, but that she is in there plays a very important part in that section of the story.
Okay. Did you ever find the Kitty persona to be, because it sounds like with the concordances, if there was an 1897 part two, you didn't get it.
No.
That would be where Kitty would be anyway.
Right.
Yeah. It didn't surprise you whatsoever in Margaret Rosette de Bray to see Kitty Solms, because you'd already gone back and gone back, and okay, so they're all connected.
Right, because by that point, I had finally seen all of 1897, and I had the DVDs, of course, that now I can watch at my leisure. And so I knew from watching that, yes, she is the reincarnation of Josette.
Because there was the other studying we'd done, mostly Melissa and I, but I'm sure I told you about it. Definitely on your trip here, I've told you about it, where there's these little breaks, where Maggie is not sure what's going on, and then she calls Roger by the name of Edward, which Rachel would not do because she was the governess and would call Edward Mr. Collins. But Kitty would call him Edward because they were engaged.
Right.
And there's Maggie saying these things that Kitty would say. And dressed in Victorian garb, not understanding, that's representative of Josette's bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So that connection there is almost, it's almost like a bridge. They're trying to make a bridge between Josette and Maggie, even though I've complained. People say, they complain about the Kitty Solms character, and I'm like, no, you don't have any room to complain. I'm the one who gets to complain. But anyways... Did that change the scope of what your work was going to be about, or did it just convince you more that there was that connection between Josette and Maggie?
It just more or less convinced me I was on the right track.
Right, yeah. Basically, your work is mainly enjoying how the characters would end up living their lives.
Right.
And continuing their lives until... just continuing.
Right.
They're the same people. It's not posted online anywhere for people to Google or to search engine?
No. Right. No.
People have to get it individually.
Right. Mm-hmm. People who I have talked to and then they've expressed an interest, then I send them the chapters via email or whatever. But no, I have not posted it online. It's not on any fanfiction.net or anything like that.
Because the reason that you didn't was...
Well, at first I hadn't really thought about it, and then I thought, well, I don't want people browbeating me, telling me how, no, this isn't right, this is not possible, this is, you know, not the way it's supposed to be. Yes, get nasty, and I was not really up for that. So mm-hmm. just trying to find people who were maybe interested in that.
Right.
In that pairing.
Right. So it all has to be, like, somewhat secretive or somewhat private. But you were always great with, you have always been great with me when I started getting the nasty stuff. And I was exposing it because I was like, this is BS to have to put up with this. If you don't like it, close the window. Go do something else. You've got gobs of stories online or elsewhere. But when I started exposing those, you were behind me all the way. And I remember you saying, I've seen this before. I've been here before. With mostly the pro Angelique. There was a little bit of the Julia, but we were like, meh, just kind of short. But the Angelique troll got nasty. But mostly we just laughed it off. But I really appreciated when you came in, you said, I've seen this before, I've been here before, and I anticipated that that was the problem. And I was like, all right, we're all cozy on our little abodes. We're all behind screens. Let's throw it out there. And I haven't exposed all of them. There were a few that I got that were just kind of wishy-washy. I want to be a critic, but I don't know how, because mm-hmm. I don't know how to fill a review box rather than just, I'm trying to be a critic, I don't know how, when the point of it is to say what you enjoyed, if you enjoyed it.
Right.
If you don't enjoy it, why are you reading it?
Exactly.
You turn it off. Other fandoms, I've often said you're a great fan of everything. There's all kinds of directions. Mostly what I wanted to focus on was how you were able to digest the other fandoms in the pit, because you already knew them. But of course, then there's Star Trek, which we've kind of talked about a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the thing that we had in common, which we, you know, almost didn't say, do you know Star Trek? We just started talking.
Right.
Talking about old gen and next gen. Not necessarily the others, but a little bit of the others, but mostly old gen and next gen.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already talked about when you spent the time getting away from Dark Shadows, going into Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't too much of a stretch for the radio drama, because a lot of those things you knew and they came up and you're like, ah.
Right, because a lot of those, I mean, I grew up with those too.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were showing them in reruns anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Long after the shows went off. So, yes, very familiar with all of them.
Ghost and Mrs. Veer, not so much.
No, I can remember, though, seeing that. I was very small, but I remember that show being on. And I remember sitting in front of the TV watching it. I couldn't tell you anything specific, but I do remember that.
The song is a charge. The theme song, there's something in there that it's like, ah!
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, then there's, before that, there's episode 3 of The Pit, which has the Sophia Petrillo.
Yes.
Not a stretch. No, I mean, and that was that you said, I've got this many of those shows, and I'm all, man, you got more than I do. I was all envious. Like,
yes.
More girls than me.
Yeah, I have all the seasons except for season 3.
Okay, well, that's,
and I'm not quite sure why I don't.
Yeah, 3 and 4 are like, there are highlights and there are lowlights.
Season 3 wasn't quite as good as the others.
Yeah.
You know, where they didn't have so many, where every show was just kind of a knockout.
Yeah, and one of the reasons is at some point between those seasons, they were changing writers. And that's why there ended up being some discontinuity.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it would be very easy for you, having known so much, to easily see a young Sophia Petrillo hanging out with Mrs. Charlton. Pretty easy.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Pretty easy. It just came, of course she's going to say, picture it, Collinsport, 1968, or 69, I'm not quite sure, because that would be what she would say. And then, let's see, 5, there was a little bit of Norman Bates, remember that. And then, of course, at the end of episode 6, there's the Addams Family, and then I think, I don't know how much Addams Family is really in your repertoire, it's just obvious. I remember we're talking about the films.
Oh, yeah, but I used to watch the original TV show, because for a long time, and I think it was afternoon television, they would switch off every other day. One day would be the Munsters, and the other day would be the Addams Family, which is switch off back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I used to watch
both
of them, yeah.
Okay. And how did you feel about the Addams Family?
I kind of preferred the Addams Family
okay.
to the Munsters. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Maybe they seemed a little more sophisticated or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And that is something that I do notice online. Some people fight over which is better, but lately, at least in attempts, there is, let's all live with a peaceful coexistence, and there's a mutual doubled up Munsters, Addams Family group pages. Just a few of them. But they're still there because everyone's like, let's just hang out and have a good time. That's all good.
Right.
But your favorite Munster would be what?
Oh, member of the family? I don't know. That's kind of hard.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of have a soft spot for Grandpa.
Okay. Yeah. For Grandpa. Me too. That's good. Oh, gosh. Yeah. You know Clue. You know Clue, right?
Right.
How did you know Clue?
Well, first of all, I used to play the game.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Which is where the whole thing comes from.
And I've seen the movie.
Did you see it in the theater?
No, I think I saw it on cable.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, we ended up getting cable, and then we got to see all those movie channels, and of course, they were showing everything, so.
Yeah, and so that was good, because when I finally really started talking to you, you're like, I know Clue.
Uh-huh.
And so Wadsworth was, you know, who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Bewitched.
Yes, I used to watch Bewitched.
Yeah, and did...
That and I Dream of Jeannie together.
Yeah, yeah. They people put those together quite frequently. With Bewitched, it just seemed like it was everywhere. You know, it like never stopped.
Right.
Similar with MASH. I was going to bring that up next.
Yeah.
MASH, you know.
Yes. Oh, yes. I have all those seasons on DVD. I watch them over and over again.
Yeah, all the jokes are so good.
Yes.
Hawkeye, have you been rotten to the core?
Uh-huh.
And I remember when I put Dr. Hoffman and Hawkeye together, you were like, I can see it. I can see it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can see them. But anyway, beyond what I'm using for the radio drama, there's just so much that you love and that you've imbibed. I was really shocked when you told us how many times you've read the Harry Potter series. Me getting disappointed in the Harry Potter series was what got me into this. We've had our discussions where it's like, no, you don't understand. If I didn't get angry about number 5 in the Harry Potter series, I wouldn't have leaped into Dark Shadows finally.
Well,
but yeah.
Yes, I understand that. Of course, number 5 was Harry and his angst. Well, even his friends, because they were all kind of cranky.
It was the Godfather that was...
Sirius Black,
that was
yes.
Where I was like, I've had it. I'm about to throw the... I was so... My window was open, and I was ready to throw it.
Okay, well... spoiler here, since you probably won't
yeah,
be reading it,
knows.
But you know he dies at the end, so then he is no more.
And they actually said it in the newspaper. I remember reading in the news, oh, the beloved character dies, and I'm like, well, I'm not that far yet. And then when that happened, I was like, I've had it. If I wanted a supernatural soap opera, I'd be watching Dark Shadows. Ding! Hey, do they have Dark Shadows on Netflix? Yes, they do. All right, let's get started. They have it, and when Barnabas starts, all right, let's get started, because I've had it with this. Because the Harry Potter, it was peer pressure. You should like this. You should. Well, I should. It's British. It's got witches and wizards. It's spooky. I should like it. Force. Get into it. And then, there I went.
It's probably a little bit like Twilight. I know people told me I should. Oh, you'll love Twilight, because it's vampires. I just
it
have
just, it just didn't,
have
it
no
just,
no
yeah, and it's,
interest in it whatsoever.
Right, and I try to be cool with people who are into Twilight, just because it's like, hey, some people dig this, some people dig that. I kind of tried, but what I saw just kind of faded past me. But if people are into it, they're into it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no more forcing myself to do anything. I was just going to allow myself to pick and choose. But at the same time, I'm glad that I did the pursuance of Harry Potter that I did, because now I get all the jokes, and I love the music, and all the little idiosyncrasies, so I'm okay. If somebody's a Harry Potter fan, then I'm kind of in, because I already went the length.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't offend me, it's just that I prefer Dark Shadows.
Well, I like Dark Shadows the best myself.
Right.
But I do love Harry Potter.
So, yeah.
The whole series, you know, both the books and the films.
Yeah, yeah. The third Harry Potter, I felt like it was, they were trying to speed through it. I was like, I feel like the book was longer than this movie. Much longer.
Oh, well, it was. You know, the first...
It felt like they were spewing their lines quicker.
Yeah. Well, the first two books, they followed it pretty closely.
Mm-hmm.
But those were the smallest books, too. If you look at those books, even just sitting on the shelf, as you see, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. The films could not contain everything. You know, the only time they sort of tried
one of them,
that was
like two parts.
Yes, the only time they tried that was with the last book, The Deathly Hallows, and they did that in two parts. And they had to do that because if they would have left things out, then you would have never found out the reason and the meaning for the whole story in the first place. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't really cut anything out of that last book because everything was important. Mm-hmm. But what they had been doing before that with 3 through 6 is they were cutting out the little side plots and the little filler that was in the books, which sometimes, you know, that wasn't such a good thing. I know some people had to be sitting in the theater watching this movie and thinking, well, why is that relevant? And only somebody who read the books would have known why. Mm-hmm. It's just that all the information wasn't there.
Yeah, I remember when I got fed up with number 5 and the reasons, and my cousin knew, and then I was ready to get a little bit of the journey again. She had read number 6, and we were on the phone, and I was laughing and laughing, and she was just going, Harry! And I was like laughing, and she just kept on telling me this stuff. And I was like, okay. And then we talked about our personal business. I'm like, all right, I'll go watch some more Dark Shadows now. After she's like complaining ad nauseum about Harry Potter number 6. But still, I mean, it's definitely a good, wonderful series. It's got so much stuff in it. Just, there were things that were soap opera about it that I was like, I need old school soap opera. If it's going to be spooky, I need the old school. And here mm-hmm. we are. And isn't it wonderful? In fact, that was the next thing. What have we been, yeah, like I asked you out here and I was thinking, yeah, we've enjoyed all this stuff. It seems like there's been a lot of vying for your attention while you've been staying with me.
Yes, they don't leave me alone.
Yes, well, we haven't heard any of the clicking or dings.
Well, it's 2 and 3 hours later there, so maybe right. they've gone to bed.
Right. Yeah, and then we had a problem with the car, but at the same, it was wonderful that you were willing to go the routes with me as far as what needs to be done on foot, and that was wonderful. And looking at the area, and you wanted to go for walks, which was great, but then it rained, so by that time
there was wheels. There was 3 days where we didn't get to do that.
And so we've learned by trial and error that, yeah, this is the better way to get a rental car and figure it out. And then it's great, since my husband's into sports, you're into sports, it all goes over my head, so then when you started bantering, then that was good. So now, the question is basically what we want to talk about on the trip that you've taken out here. You know, if you've been mm-hmm. comfortable, I hope so.
Oh, yes. Okay. Definitely.
Then we've gone to historical landmarks that are spooky, or at least one of them.
Yes.
Yes. That was fun, and getting little knickknacks, and that's what it was. Yeah, I've got teen scene magazines.
That was wonderful.
I can't remember what it was before we got the car, I'm pretty sure. And you found all those, and I cleaned off enough, and then I was cleaning more because we were talking, and you went through all of those teen scene magazines from the 60s that my father-in-law
gave me. Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was Thursday. Uh-huh. Yeah, and then what's his claim to fame of this guy?
Oh, Saheed Khan.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's like Lily Langtry. Famous for being famous.
Right. Pretty much.
Yeah. And then it was weird because then it seemed like the one episode that had the Dark Shadows in it that Barnabas was always next door to Chekhov from Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah. Always next to Walter Koenig. Yeah.
It was almost, I remember he said it was a lot of the magazines, it was for the photos. But it seemed like they had to put text in there, and the text was really bad. It's almost like they had to get the text, as bad as it was the excuse to call it a magazine.
Right.
Some of that. So you went through all of that. You had said that at some point the Beatles were going out because they were getting a little too strange psychedelic.
They were getting too psychedelic and right. too weird, and those magazines really always were targeted towards maybe from age 9 to age 15, okay. perhaps. I mean, older people would read them, mm-hmm. but their target audience always was that younger set. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Monkees were so popular at the time, right. because they were more innocent.
Right. And that's one of the reasons I like them. And I was so disturbed to listen to Rubber Ream today, which was 73. Thank heavens. So yeah, that was great. Trying to remember other things, because yeah, it blended in the 60s. There was the innocent, and then there was the psychedelic, and there was the strange, and oh yeah, and there were the letters. I mean, there were the pen pal columns, which I thought was really cool because it mm-hmm. extended that far,
pages.
Yeah, and which I told you, that's how I started my pen pal stuff, was magazines, not so much with any TV involved, mostly with music, and there were pen pal columns in the 80s. That's where I went. But there were things where people would write in and they said, oh, Barnabas Collins, glad that you put him in there, and I want more, and how about Quentin? And then you said, and they lied. They said they were going to, yes, we're going to include Quentin, and we're going to put in more Barnabas. And they lied. I've read all of these. They never did it.
Yeah, because you had, or your father-in-law or whoever had all those issues, those following issues. Mm-hmm. And yes, they lied because neither of them were in there.
Yeah, they weren't. And this is all being done while Lisa is wearing a Dark Shadows t-shirt with Barnabas and Maggie on it.
Yeah.
Which I have to wonder, the photographs, it's mainly of that couple. What are their proof? I mean...
Yeah, there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, that's mostly what I've seen. In fact, I'm really not sure, maybe there is more Quentin Beth kissing, because I think they did a lot of kissing. But the most that I've seen, maybe it's just because I'm only looking for it, the most I've seen of smooching shots is basically Jonathan Frid, Catherine Lee Scott.
Mm-hmm. And because, in her various roles.
Right. And because of the reincarnation aspect, which, dare I say it, is in the Burton film. So even then, they extended whatever they could.
Well, in a backhanded way, it was also in the House of Dark Shadows, too.
It says it in the summary.
That I don't know that they insinuate it very much, actually, in the film. Because the film is kind of really sort of chopped up.
It is, yeah.
You know, because there were parts cut out. Because if you read the novelization...
Oh, yeah, I need that. I don't have a copy.
There is things in there that just were not in the film.
And lean towards the reincarnation.
Yeah. Yes.
Because I was shocked when I was like, the summary, okay, there it is. If I'd seen it before I started the pit, I don't remember. But seeing it, well, they just come out and say it. The summary of this movie is... And then there it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, what more do you want? What do you need? I guess the main thing in all of this, because I've worked on my own thing, which really touched my soul as I have built it, this one even more so, because when I looked at it all, I thought, wow, what a love story. To, you know, have this person cursing, and they are striving so hard to reach each other. He's a vampire, so he just keeps going. And she's reincarnating to reach him. I mean, for a supernatural romance, I cannot think of anything that is more profound. I cannot. Even with that last, I think it was chapter 41, where I was like, I could never have invented this romance. All I can do is help it heal. That's all I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And even that is an honor when hose heads are not mucking up the system or getting in my way or saying things that... Oh, and that's the other thing, while you've been here, because I said, you know, some of this about my trip, because I was saying that we've talked about our own original material, we've talked about character development, we've talked about this is how you know who this person is, and you get involved, and your work is incredibly convincing. I'm lying here, it's like watching the show. I remember chapter 7, it was almost too much, and I was trying to say what I liked, and it was just, I was like, I'm so happy, but... That was another reason I wanted to invite you here, because, you know, I wanted you to see where I had been. Because it's almost like everybody's trying to mother me. Like, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't be... No. My issue is people aren't talking to each other like they used to. And it's humanly necessary. Because I know I'm good. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone through the bother of paying for the podcast and all that and doing it. The demos were what really convinced me. But then to bring you here and the music. I thought that was the other thing that was wonderful. Like, but we both have this wonderful love of all kinds of different genres of music and different bands and all these things. But then I show you all the books and how I put them into themes and that I was working what my original stuff was. And you get it. You get segmenting a saga where if there's something missing, it's going to link. And how it's going to link.
Mm-hmm.
You have the chronology. You understand... What I think a lot of good, solid writers would understand, you know, people who make money.
Mm-hmm.
But then seeing all of this, like, here's my supernatural shelf, here's my Canadian shelf, here's my British Isles shelf, and there's Victorian ones. And yeah, and that was funny, too, where you're going through the 60s stuff, and when we went shopping, was there also, there was 60s stuff you were looking at, and here, there I am looking at Victorian reprints and kind of getting high off of that. Yeah, you were reading Teen Scene, and as I was cleaning, I found that bit about the phonogram and how it was going to change things. It was 1893.
Right.
I was getting high off of that, and I said, and I was trying to find it, and I finally found it. It was like a zinc foil sheet, and how that was not going to cut it, and how easily it would wear out quickly. Mm-hmm. And how the phonogram was going to change everything. And I couldn't even figure out if it was the circular record or if it was the cylinder. But it was the same thing. It was the sense of nostalgia, whether we were there or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think coming to that understanding and knowing that we're on the same wavelength and we have all these other things in common, and music especially, which is wonderful because it inspires you and
yes.
promotes things. And I'm getting these great ideas, which I think is the purpose of why those musicians put it out there. They're inspired. They want to say something special, and then as it goes out there, other things formulate or encouraged, and I'm not sure how to end this. I'm sure at the end they got the... But yeah, no, it's been great, and I hope, again, you know, like I said with Oisin's interview, like, I'm so grateful that you came to visit.
Well, I was happy that you invited me.
Yeah. And again... So somebody comes to my home and they can leave unscathed, but usually, because yeah, you had a long way to go. Oisin didn't have that far to go. So I think we're done, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
So there you are, yet another person who has visited me and left unscathed, or actually better than she was previously. So. Yeah. Getting pretty tired of all these judgments passed on me about who I am and how I should feel and all that garbage. So, yeah, just trying to get through things in the most professional manner I can garner, considering what we're left to right now. And with Lisa's work, I have strongly suggested... Don't send people everything. Send them one chapter and let them get back to you on that one chapter. And then when they want more, they've earned it. And they'll keep on earning it. I mean, you gotta have a dialogue about this stuff. There are some people who have a lot of Lisa's work privately. Either way, she's working on a whole lot more. And if you haven't been gracious enough to express why the heck you want more, she's not gonna send it to you. Simple as that. And now, the whole point of these intro podcasts, I decided that the interviews would be great just to include that, because the updates, I feel those are extracurricular, and these ones need to be very audio drama based. What we have for episode 17 in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, the big showdown between Vampire Angelique and the ghost with the most, which I've been warned by my aunt. That when I channel strong characters like that, I'll tend to have residual effects for a day or two. And that's just general stuff that she understands. So I have to orbit that out while the rest in Collinwood shudder at what is heard. And it's nice to get in touch with my aunt, who had her own radio show and stage work, because she just takes my news and never argues one drop with me about it. I'm guessing all y'all don't do stage work and just skip the interviews of what performers go through. Hence, arguing with me about it or calling me just a writer makes you look stupid. But yes, she was good to give me some affirmation of, oh yes, those are very hard to harness characters. I know what you're going through. And that's that. So getting through that scene with our bioexorcist does affect me. I've said that for over a year. For this showdown. Well, if you know The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, you obviously know who's going to win. And even if you know that, the journey of that win will still entice you. So, I've really been working hard to get that accurate. I've been going through multiple movie scripts for Beetlejuice, interesting discoveries, and one thing that has really encouraged me is looking through the Dark Shadows 2012 movie with the showdown at the end of that one. I realized that if we are blending BJ and Dark Shadows, the Burton film will be great inspiration for that. So I'm awaiting a chance to watch the Burton film again, and I'm looking into certain sound effects that will fit. And throughout all of this, Roger is merely annoyed. David is freaking out, and Maggie is so ready to smack her sweetheart, Barnabas Collins. And what is worse, he may perhaps like it. When Lily and Elizabeth come home, they are pretty flummoxed and curious and ready to take Caleb's advice and get the heck away. Of course, Oisin Navoy has offered assistance with this part of the scene, in that the Garners likely have a hand in getting their voyage tickets straightened out. Thank you, Oisin. Later on, we have Maggie Evans trying to relay all that's happened to her father, Sam, and wow, is he ever having a curious laugh fest at the whole affair. But Maggie points out that Angelique will never stay dead, and they need help. This then returns us to how Captain Gregg could possibly intervene. Sam still has the compass to summon Captain Gregg, and the next step is venturing with Captain Gregg to the Stevens home. And next, in episode 17, For the Pit, Tony and Carolyn. Yummy. Just having a little car ride, and as I was so worried would offend people, they are dodging the Shriners parade. But Tony and Carolyn make it into a lay-by, or in Yankee terms, a turnout on the road, and enjoy each other's company that way. The noise affects a certain other couple on a dinner date, that of Dr. Julia Hoffman and Professor T. Elliot Stokes. When Julia figures out where the noise is coming from, she decides that Dr. Hawkeye Pierce picked the better convention to attend. Then our next star couple, being Julia and Elliot, have a marvelous conversation introducing Amy Jennings, mentioning Barnabas Collins' troubles, which then leads into the study of lycanthropy, and obviously a little loving expression towards each other. Now, I was on the phone with Lisa, and I've been trying to introduce an added scene for episode 17 because it's actually too short with the word count. I keep leaning toward Willie Loomis, and after we chatted a while, it seemed to come out that another scene somewhere ought to be some catch-up time with Willie and Wadsworth. Between episode 14 and 16 in the pit, we're not really seeing how Willie is getting so much to be caught up with. It's more offstage. So one idea I'm running with is Willie asking his old employer, "Let me be sure I have all this right," as Willie is sitting at a desk with a new calligraphy set. So I'm looking forward to putting that together. Then we shall have Lily and Elizabeth en route on their voyage. A particular song will play, and Lily will almost beg her cousin Elizabeth to dance with her. It's at this point I'm hoping to get Bill Malloy's ghost to see them and breathe his first line. We shall see. So don't worry too much about further episodes, because I've already got a list of stuff that I want for 18. And like I've said, I'm blending everything together. You know, sometimes there are just things that come out, and, well, I'm going to try and do my best. And now, I'd like to wrap up with some serious stuff, which means those of you who, for whatever reason, love the pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows and hate the person bringing it to you should probably turn the podcast off now. Farewell. And for those of you still listening, I'm going to be very honest about what hundreds of you have been doing to me. You have approached me in various ways, face-to-face, private messages, on Facebook, on Google+, on Skype chat, through email, messages on fanfiction.net, over the telephone, and on Pal Talk. I'm not saying this to one individual. I'm saying this to many individuals. If you dare be an individual. You hear my personal news via this podcast. And rather than being straightforward by saying, "Hey, I heard your May update podcast, and I was worried you were upset. Would you like to talk about it?" No, that's not what you're telling me. That's not how you go about it. That's not what has been happening with me. I'm getting these random folks asking, "How are you?" And I keep thinking in return, "Who are you? Who are you? What do you know who I am?" You don't really identify anything about why you know me. And you make it out like We are supposed to play this game of assuming what the other person is thinking. Honestly, you can play that game, and likely already do, without reaching out to confuse me in this idea that you were being helpful. If anything, you're doing the exact opposite. When you reach out to someone whose news you know, avoiding how you know what's going on with them or the knowledge that you have about that person is extremely confusing. It's off-putting and incredibly creepy. In a good phrase, it's simply not cricket. It is contrary to traditional standards of fairness or rectitude. When you do that to me, or to anyone you are involving them in a head game, you are not helping by any means. And I know for damn sure I do not deserve that treatment. So, if one of the many, many of you approach me to explain to me how I should feel, or just to say hello when you've given me this weird avoidance treatment, but want to reach out anyway, I have every right to avoid you. And I'm going to. You have treated me like a freak of nature that you want to poke a stick at, not like a human being you admire. I'm also very confident that you were not raised to do that, and before the advent of social networks, you rarely, if ever, behaved that way. I'm sorry that new variants in technology altered your behavior, but that's all I can see of what happened. And I have to feel bad for some of the younger generation who have grown up with this technology. I mean, they've really been raised with this stuff. However, the people my age and older, you know better. You really do. And you post these memes bemoaning the old ways. Well, then maybe you should practice them instead of sitting there posting memes bemoaning the loss. The kids got an excuse. You don't. You really don't. All of this altered my behavior. And I have admitted that. But I choose to look for ways to break that cycle, which is email, telephone, postal mail, face-to-face gatherings, connection, being with others who are thoughtful and creative to heal myself back to being more grounded and centered. My old-fashioned addictions, alcohol being one of them, was increased by the silence, by the arguments, by the social networks, and the peer pressure to use them and accept them as if I was Winston in the book 1984 by George Orwell. I am saying no. I have a choice, and I know I have a choice. And frankly, you can go and be the thought police to someone else. People for the Barnabas and Maggie pairing, Maggie is the reincarnation of Josette, and you're trying to argue with me about all of this? If you're in for a penny, you might just as well be in for a pound and start telling me Barnabas really wanted Julia Hoffman as his lifelong marriage partner after all. I mean, if you're going to tell me that everything I've been through is quote-unquote okay and quote-unquote just what people do, you might as well join the Julia Barnabas Brigade because it's the same thing trying to convince someone who has done what I have done and continue to do not to trust her own observation skills. We're observing this. I'm observing this. I look for you to share this love. And when you come to the argument, you might as well just go along with all of it. Go along with everything. We see the love affair of Barnabas and Suzette on the program striving to reach each other while feeling bombarded against seeing that obvious fact. I put myself out on the line for a lot of you. And I do not deserve to be told what's happened to me is in any way okay. The good is good. It really is. But the bad is incredibly foul and undeserving. You have freedom of choice. And many people fought and died to give you that. If you want to throw it away on social media, decrease your ability to express why you love something, or things ranging in a deeper sense of thought, appreciation, and community, that's your choice. It isn't mine. The more I stay off of social networks, the better I feel. The more I get in touch with like-minded people who are honest with me and with themselves, the better things become. I've done it to reach this far. If I hadn't done that before, you would not be listening to this, nor any of the other shows I've made. I fought my way out of turmoil and nonsense, and I'm doing it again. That's my choice. If you want to degrade yourself trying to relay information with happy buttons and clicks and puppy stickers and smiley faces with hearts for eyes all day and night, post something to try and get approval from a bunch of strangers or friends who have become estranged from you, want to send a meme of a quotation because you can't speak for yourself, be a big conformist herded along with the rest of the cattle, go for it. Have a ball. It's video game socializing, and I prefer real socializing. And yes, real video games. Not merging the two. Also, if you have a problem with the romantic pairings for the pit, well, guess what? I didn't pick them. I found a cutoff point to interrupt before Sam Evans was killed, and then I let the characters pick for themselves. And I listen to what they want, and allow that listening to lead the way. Otherwise, I would not require research assistance. I wouldn't be on the phone with friends asking who did what in which episode. I wouldn't go through the bother of so much studying. I could just do it any way I wanted to. No, that's not what I'm about. Apparently a lot of you are and have been for a while, and you want to squish me into your mold. It's not going to work, and it never has. However, in all of this, I was curious what would happen if Barnabas and a reincarnated Josette reached each other. And I got a wonderful gift from that curiosity, as well as a novel in progress that many people love. You have no obligation to read it. And if you don't like it, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of stories out there for the choosing. But what my husband and I have now from these canon romantic pairings, and that one in particular, you argue with me about that? You are basically spitting on our marriage. I do not deserve that, and I certainly do not welcome it. My husband has helped me since 1993 to become a better person who is more grounded, understands the importance of communicating personal needs with others. He's been a negotiator in great ways for his family and for mine. He keeps friendships going because people trust him. When I stopped posting the radio drama script and left chunks up, that got geared up to begin this podcast in the fall of 2013. We were waiting for our groceries at the market, and I said, I'm excited. I feel good about this. I'm looking forward to doing everything over again, and better. Really? He asked. Yes, I really do, I answered. And do you know what he said? He said, good, because I wasn't going to let you give up. You haven't been this creative and involved for years. He has never said anything like that to me in our 23 years together. And then you know what he did? He got me the whole box set of Dark Shadows for Christmas so I could get it all correct and we could enjoy it together more. So if you hate that and want to derail it, why would we want to talk to you? It obviously shows you're a mean, spiteful person with a chip on your shoulder and looking for someone to blame or make fun of. Or loathe. If I had a car, I would have taken this to college radio, got set up in the disc jockey courses, and done it locally. But I don't have a car. So I went online. Because from what I knew, people chose for themselves online. Well, I wonder on that score now. Don't seem to be choosing for yourself much at all lately. And it's funny because almost every social platform I've tried, whether it's Google+, Paltalk, Tumblr, WordPress, Facebook, and yes, sometimes even Meetup. So many people are locked into just that. Letters, phone calls, and emails. These one-to-one methods have become completely foreign. I liken it to choosing one's own prison camp to be monitored in. You're just beholden to that prison camp and can't get out. And it's to the point where you can't even see beyond the fence of that prison camp. Because to you, the other prison camps are filled with the wrong people, or they simply don't exist. Or, no one uses that anymore. It's likely why there is this surge of avoidance to discuss listeners of this podcast. The crowd at large is avoiding discussion with Daryl. So, I don't want to stand out and be different from everyone else, right? Ah, there we have the herded Eloy race from the time machine again. The Eloy, well-fed, taken care of, clothing provided, and lining up for the slaughter whenever the sirens blow and the Morlocks are hungry. I've been watching this for years, folks. Arguing with me about it only proves my point. You've got to defend your position, and your position is following the herd. I still hear no one writes letters anymore, or you're reviving a dying art. I've been hearing that since the 1980s. The 1980s, I've been hearing it. No, they do. They do write letters. Lots of people do. There are still letters. You're just not seeing them. Very much like desktop computers. And record players. I see those too. But something compels you not to see them. And thereby dismiss their existence. I think, as far as I can tell, the only thing we all have in common is we want Barnabas Collins to stop complaining. I am no exception. But as I've told several close friends now, I got him to stop complaining. And it changed our lives. So, until next time, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Beyond graves, beyond words, beyond any of this stuff. Memories linger. I know that for sure.
Ultimate Dark Shadows is a Daryl War production.